Previously on Those Were the Days.
I'm not doing that.
Had to go in deep cover with the mob.
Do you want to come back?
I like it being very popular in the UK. Like, they're like, what's going on in the colonies?
The pilot, which I did not make us watch, was an hour and a half.
You're both wrong.
It was like a pair of football shoulder pads.
Which is a better intro than what I actually did.
Canadian Mountie Sergeant Buck Frobisher.
Pauldrons.
Is it Philippe? Is it Philippe? I never heard it pronounced the same way by two people.
Men will literally talk to their dead father in the back of their stakeout car and then go to therapy.
Those Were the Days is filmed before a live internet audience.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Those Were the Days, the show where we talk a little bit about classic TV that we love, you love, maybe everybody loves. And as part of this month, we are going across the pond, well, across the border for some of these shows. But this show in particular, we're going across the pond to jolly old England. Is it jolly? I don't know. According to the scenery in Blackadder, I don't know how happy anybody was, but that's the show we're doing tonight. And I'll be your king who may, you know, you may have heard is a horrible king who's deformed and eats his children or whatever. But that is not the whole story. Here to tell the rest of this story with me are my fellow kings, queens, and knights. Let's start with Audie.
Hello there, good dear St. Peter. So I have a request for you and our dear Lord in heaven here, Almighty God. I assume you saw the way I was most unceremoniously killed down there on Earth. Right, my idiotic nephew cut off my head. Little turd that I was in my royal armor and cape attempting to steal his horse. Little bugger was off taking a piss and thought me common anything. Anyways, I would like permission from the Almighty, or if it is in your purview to grant such a request, to go back down to Earth in ghostly form and haunt the little dweeb for however long I'm allowed to before I enter into the pearly gates of heaven for the rest of eternity. I can? Splendid! He'll regret ever thinking himself such a man worthy to be lord of anything. Oh, what's that? The only condition is that only my nephew may see me. Ah, that's perfectly fine. He's the only one I'm interested in interacting with for his last brief venture. Well, very well. Toodaloo, good man, or a saint, sir, and I will see you. Well, now, how exactly does time work when you're no longer living?
That's amazing. And we also have the wonderful Travis.
Script department, Kevin speaking. Hello, Mr. Atkinson. Right, yeah, yeah. No, it's super exciting. You're shooting the new show. You want a couple of alternates for a line in the script? Yeah, which line is it again? Uh-huh. Okay. Right. Uh-huh. Okay, all right, so... Right, what do you think of this? Okay, before suiting up in armor, make sure you've taken care of business. No one wants to face battle with an urgent call of nature. Uh-huh. Remember, warriors, before donning armor tomorrow, ensure your bowels are as fortified as your breastplate. No? To all those gearing up for battle, heed this advice. Empty your tanks before strapping on your armor, lest you find yourself in a crappy situation. No? Before encased in metal, make sure you've unloaded all excess baggage, because nothing ruins a knight's day like a sudden coat brown. Wow. To all my fellow knights, a reminder. Before donning armor tomorrow, make like a catapult and unload your payload. Hello? Hello?
Everyone's a critic.
Finally, last but not least, Amy.
Once more into the breach, dear friends. Once more, or close the wall up with our British comedy. In podcasting, there is nothing so becomes a man as modest silliness and historical inaccuracies. But when the blast of old TV blows in our ears, then imitate the action of the house cat. Curl up on the couch. Summon up the snacks.
That is amazing. That's perfect. That's everything we need. Mm-hmm. I agree. Summon the cat. Perfect. Thank you all for your wonderful intros. As always, we're here to talk about a little bitty show that came out of the UK in the 1980s. 1983, I believe, is the airing of the first Blackadder. Now, this is a show starring Rowan Atkinson, who many might know as Mr. Bean. Mm-hmm. Your kids might know as the guy who battled the bee in the latest Netflix miniseries, which highly recommended. We're not talking about new stuff, but I'm just saying the bee was pretty fun. I had a good time. If you like Three Stooges, like slapstick humor. But Rowan Atkinson is a beloved character, even across the pond over here, where we have a good old time with him. But yeah, this show aired in 1983. I've been talked to about it a million times by my sister-in-law, who's like, how have you not seen Blackadder? Much in the same voice that they give me when they're like, how have you not sat through Monty Python and the Quest for the Holy Grail? I don't know what to tell you. I just missed it. Somehow, because, well, it aired before I was born is one reason, but otherwise because I didn't know anything about it. I mean, I don't know where British TV comes from. You know, it falls out of the sky every now and then.
It falls into that category of things that, like, if you don't have that person to introduce you to it, like, I just started reading Discworld. And,
ooh,
like,
yeah.
I should have read it by now,
right.
But I realized, I was like, the person who would have introduced me to it is my older sister, and she hasn't read it either. And so it's like, you know, all it takes is to, like, miss out on that one person that's like, hey, here's this thing. You got to do this thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That really older cousin,
absolutely.
That older sibling, that uncle or aunt or somebody that was into that thing, or a parent even, and they're like, check this out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very much so. We're not going to randomly come across this on US TV. There's got to be somebody to introduce. A very good point. But as we typically do, I would like to know, I have no familiarity with this show at all, but I want to know what you guys might know about it. So we'll go backwards from our intros. And Amy, how about you? You ever heard of this thing?
So I've heard of it. It falls into this category of shows that people who know me, like, think that I have watched, like, they assume, like, they're like, obviously, who have watched this thing, and then I have to tell them, no, I have not. And I also realized about 10 minutes in, it was about 10 seconds in, I realized that all week preparing for the show, my brain was, now I knew it was Rowan Atkinson and I knew, like, the gist, but then also somehow my brain was connecting it to Red Dwarf, which I also haven't seen. And so it was like a weird amalgamation in my head for the week until I watched it. So that was a whole thing. yeah. So I don't particularly have a history with this myself.
Travis, how about you?
I mean, I knew of Blackadder. I've seen bits and pieces here and there, clips and stuff. There's one from a later edition of it where Hugh Laurie is in, that I've seen a clip of a bunch. But I never, like, watched it itself, although I love Rowan Atkinson and Brian Blessed, who was in this episode. And then later on, when Hugh Laurie, Stephen Fry, and the rest of them kind of came along, Miranda Richardson. So I love everybody involved in it. It was one kind of the same thing. I didn't have anybody to introduce this to me, and so I just never sought it out. But, yeah,
so
I had
it's been
I had
on
a
the
good
list,
time.
You know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes, perpetually on the list was Blackadder.
Adi, how about you?
I seem to be in the same boat as everybody else. I did not watch it at all. Didn't know. I was trying to think about it. I don't even remember when I first heard about it, but it was definitely at least after college. I think as I started listening to more podcasts and nerd circles, and, you know, somebody here or there would bring it up and talk about it and be like, oh, you've never watched Blackadder, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, yeah, okay. And I was like, okay, whatever that is, you know, and eventually we'd go look it up or, you know, like try to see a clip here or there. It's funny, an old high school buddy of mine posted on Facebook that he loved the show. And I was like, wow, you know the show? Oh, wait, your mom is English. Of course you know what the show is. But yeah, this is my first time ever watching Blackadder.
Yeah. All right. Well, then we're in for a treat. Because I've talked to people a million times about this. People tell me, Steven, have you ever watched Monty Python? I was like, I have tried to watch Monty Python and fallen asleep in every attempt.
Here's the thing.
Or otherwise got bored. Yeah, go
Especially
ahead.
Especially the show, like Monty Python's Flying Circus. It's not as good as people remember, because people only remember the really good bits. It's like Saturday Night Live,
yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
Like the really good bits will make it to YouTube or, you know, Instagram, and that's great. But like, it's they throw a lot of stuff at the wall, which is great, but it does not all hit at all.
Yeah.
And a lot of it too just makes references that we cannot it's like when we watched Laughing, right?
Yeah.
Like we cannot make the we do not have the information to make this be funny.
Yeah.
We're missing the pieces that connects the setup to the punchline.
The movies are pretty
Yeah, because the movies have a through line. It's kind of common, you know, what you're doing. It's different than sketches, which are often socially informed by their times and by the news. And
not only that, but sketches are hard because, like, short form like that, it's hard to tell a story. So you basically have to have a joke and build something around it. Same thing happened with, like, Kids in the Hall, right? Kids in the Hall is great, but there are definitely sketches in Kids in the Hall that don't work. That don't work at all. Any sketch show is going to have that. In Living Color had it. And Monty Python's Flying Circus certainly did. But if and when you watch it, you do, like, I do have the memories of the things that did work and also what I had on cassette, because they would, you know, the best of stuff would make it onto the records.
And
all of that. So,
People know the Ministry of Silly Walks. I mean, I laughed at the dead parrot sketch. Dead Parrot always shows up. The spam thing never got me. I get that it's a thing, but it was just it's too absurd. British stuff
is
just goes
it's
deep
just
into the absurdity, but it's past where I can follow it. Like, I will follow you to the mountains, and I'm like, never mind.
See,
I gotta get off at the river.
After the whole thing with Twin Peaks, and you
right.
And I'm like, I don't know, but I'm like British humor, I'm like, yes. Give it to me. Put it in my veins.
This is the fascinating thing to me. Like, you would think, the Twin Peaks had me hooked, but it was like a different kind of absurdity that I don't know why the Brit. I really, and it's sad because I want to love it. I want to love Life of Brian and Holy Grail and just all the Monty Python shenanigans. But there just comes a point somewhere in that movie that I just, somewhere after the Black Knight. And the flesh wound and all that, I just lose it. I can't hang in there. I don't want to bury the lead here, but Blackadder had me at the beginning, chuckle. This is great. And about 15 minutes in, I found myself going, "Huh, there's another 15 minutes of this show," which is a shame because we're gonna explore it. We're gonna explore the show because, like, right out of the gate, I'm getting told what this show is about. Like, it's a medieval, at least this season, it's taking place in the medieval times with King Richard III is the king. And we're being told that Henry Tudor, Henry VII, Henry the whatever, has made up most of the history surrounding it. You think King Richard III is some kind of disfigured monster who mutilates his nephews and children. But that's not true. And the rubber knife bit right at the beginning just killed me. All right.
Yeah.
There was no missing what this show was going to be about. And then, like, his hunchback was actually a bag of presents for the children. I was like, okay.
I loved that gag because they did it again during his speech.
It's just so good. Yeah, things keep coming around. I also got tickled because I'm currently listening, thanks to y'all's recommendation. I think it might have been Amy or Travis, can't remember. Making It So, Patrick Stewart's autobiography. Mm. And he went to drama school with Brian Blessed. Brian Blessed was like four years older than him, but they were tight at school. Like, they were best buds.
Brian Blessed is one of my favorite people on the entire planet. If you have not heard him talk about hunting the Yeti, you have to go find it. He is incredible. And I don't know if you guys have seen Jack Black lately, but he has entered his Brian Blessed era, and I am so excited about it. But Brian Blessed is an incredible... Like, Rowan Atkinson is funny. I love Mr. Bean, but I can take Rowan Atkinson in very small doses. Like, him in... There was that movie... I think it was in the 90s where there was like one of those Amazing Race type shows, but
yeah, it was
Rat Race.
Yeah,
like,
Rat Race.
That's about the level of where I'm at with Rowan Atkinson. Like, That's great. Like, I do. I love Mr. Bean, but those are, like, super short. It's great. I can watch
they're
a
short,
couple
but
when I'm out.
But also, like, with Rowan Atkinson here, it's the voice he's putting on, and, like, he's playing this sniveling character, and that that can be grating very quickly.
Yeah.
Later seasons of this, because I've seen clips from other things, he's much more, like, intelligent and conniving, and it's kind of, it's a different iteration of Edmund that is a little easier to deal with, I think.
Okay.
So that is definitely, because I agree with you, there's times where Rowan Atkinson can be too much. Brian Blessed, though, give me all the Brian Blessed you can.
Right in my veins, everything.
His voice, like, he's got that booming voice.
Yep.
And I always forget how big his teeth are. And, like, his mouth. He's just, it's just all mouth. And it's amazing.
It was awesome seeing him because the only thing I knew him from before this was Tarzan. So it was like, I immediately knew the voice.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my gosh, that's him. Holy crap.
I was so excited because I didn't know he was in this. Like, I knew Rowan Atkinson was in it, and that was about it. And so when he, like, shows up on the screen, I was like, that's Brian Blessed. This is going to be great.
See, I didn't know. I knew Brian Blessed's name, but I couldn't place him. I actually had to go look him up on IMDb. Like, which person is Brian Blessed? And I'm like, oh, okay. I see. But maybe it's because the things I've watched. He hasn't been circling my universe quite like you might have to other people.
But really,
I'm going to look that up, definitely. It's funny that you mentioned that Rowan Atkinson played this kind of sniveling, difficult to kind of tolerate character. Mm-hmm. Because according to the trivia from IMDb, Rowan Atkinson didn't know who this character was up till 10 minutes before the cameras were rolling.
Yeah. Right.
And he had to figure out what he was going to do, which is... Rowan Atkinson is incredibly talented. There's some things that I've seen from him that are outside of Mr. Bean. The Invisible Drummer on YouTube. Yes. Like, go look that up on YouTube. Mm-hmm. That is just some level of talent I'm unable to understand.
He's a great physical comedian.
Yes, he is.
Yeah, he's unbelievably good. And, I mean, I'm one of the people that was really excited when they announced a Johnny English 3. Like, I love the guy. Johnny English killed me dead. I felt like, which is so funny. Like, it's like the Americanized version of Rowan Atkinson. I'm all about. Like, it's like when they put him over here and they kind of tweak it just a little bit so that it's more American humor. Like, we can get it. Like, there's so much in the British silliness that I can't get. But anyway, this whole show is about the rewritten history of Edmund and the king and all these things that happen. And I took the best notes I could, but somehow this is anti-note television.
Yeah.
Like, as I'm watching it, I'm like, I don't know what to write down. I'm both enjoying myself, but I'm also confused, and I don't know what are these moments? Because there's like this collections of chaos and quips. Chaos and quips. That's what this is all kind of encompasses, and I don't know how to take notes on it. So I'm going to do my best to work my way through this. But I know one of the first scenes we start at is the description of what the show's about. And then the dinner table where they're discussing the battle that they're going to have the next day at the field. And they're talking to each other about this battle. Edmund, are you going to battle with us? Oh, I thought I was going to battle for the enemy. Like, what? What? Okay, there we go. And then they refer to him as a little turd, which tickled me.
Yeah.
I love that whole exchange. Who is that at the end of the table? It's your other son. It's my other son. What's his name?
Edna. That was great.
I want to talk about the writing credits for a hot second before we get too deep.
Yes,
please.
So this was written by Rowan Atkinson. It was also written by Richard Curtis. And let me give you some of Richard Curtis's other credits. So he wrote The Boat That Rocked, which was pirate radio here in the U.S., which is one of my top 10 films. Four Weddings and a Funeral, which is phenomenal. I thought there was one more that was really before I did the final coup de grace of Love Actually. He wrote Love Actually. And he wrote this. But even better than all of that.
Did he write
even better than all of that?
Did he...
And Notting Hill and Bridget Jones's Diary.
Yeah.
Good Lord.
Yeah. And then even better than that is that William Shakespeare gets an additional dialogue credit.
Yes. And I loved I loved all of that. Every time there would be a line either
altered. I was doing the Leonardo DiCaprio like point at the screen.
I think my favorite one is probably a horse. A horse. My kingdom for a horse. Was fantastic. Good. That or the summer of our sweet content.
Yes.
Man, this guy is a beast. Like I once you said Love Actually and stuff, I was like, wait, did he write About Time? He wrote About Time. That is hands down, like in my top five greatest movies of all time. Like
I watch
comfort movie right there. Yeah. So we got some good folks behind
this. Serious power.
Yeah, Richard Kurtz. I knew that name sounded familiar, but I couldn't place it. Yeah. Should have looked it up. Everything.
You know.
That's what proper researchers for their podcast do. They come up with it. No, I've got three brilliant other people around me. Yeah. This is the Channing Tatum School of Acting. Surround yourself with really great actors, and that's how you make it. But yeah, so we're sitting there. There was a joke about. We'll string the genitalia in the Rutland tree, referring to the enemy. I think I'm trying.
No, Edmund how he might if he was killed.
Yeah, if they lost.
That's right.
He would have his arms and sent to Essex and his torso to Norfolk. And his genitalia run up a tree.
But the follow-up joke was great when he was talking about, how will they know I'm a man? Well, your genitalia are up that tree.
Yeah, just look at that tree.
Really, they threw out another punchline about the genitalia in the Rutland tree again, which it just kept giving. It was just the joke that just kept giving.
There's
a lot more blood in this. There's a lot more blood in this show than I expected. Like in American TV, like most of the time, you just can't show blood.
Mm-hmm. It's decapitate someone.
No.
Even humorously.
Yeah, there's not a lot of decapitation happening in America. So this has shocked me. Like, as we're known for horrendous violence in our media, but if you do violence with a sword, it's different. It's okay. Ashley and I were having this discussion on Horseshoes and Hand Grenades, the other show that I do that you should go listen to every once in a while, about this. Well, we can't let them do gun stuff, but swords are just fine. You have to be in close proximity.
Yeah. You got to know what you're doing.
Sword play. Yeah, you gotta be talented for sword play. One thing I did take note of is the ADR was spectacular. On that windy hill, you know nobody was recording with a microphone live up there. But they were doing a fantastic job lip-syncing it up, because, I mean, I believed it. It was better ADR than I saw in a made-for-TV movie the other night, Night of the Twisters. You can go check that junk out. That was like a made-for-sci-fi TV. It's wild. It's wild.
Made-for-sci-fi TV, that tells me everything I need to know.
Yep. Yeah,
from the 90s, like when they had $8 to make a movie. Not 8,000, eight.
Just eight.
To be fair, this show also has that classic BBC budget.
Yeah.
So here's the funny thing about
that. They stretched that budget.
Oh, they did.
But the funny thing about that is this series of it, Atkinson had said that they had like £1 million to make it. And the subsequent series almost didn't happen because the guy that became the head of the BBC didn't like the show and was going to axe it, and they convinced him to do another one, but he cut back the budget and he cut back the cast. Like, so he didn't have as many extras. There was characters, but there weren't as many extras, and the budget was slashed. So this was actually a higher budget than where it went. But I think the show got better in a lot of people's minds, including Rowan Atkinson. He even said like he didn't think the first series was as good, and it got better later on. But yeah, it had that classic, like, they're riding up the hill for the battle and you see a couple of flags, and then it's just cut to their reactions to what's going on in the field, because we can't afford to actually show a battle. We don't have that in the budget.
That's a lot.
That's where like people can learn how to shoot good stuff on a budget. Is what you don't have to show everything if you can make what's happening on screen or what they're talking about make it work. And I didn't even think twice about there not being a big battle. I didn't even think about it. Yeah. I was just watching these guys chat, but I'm also a Kevin Smith fan, so it's easy for me to just not care.
Right.
It's just you know, to each his own. But I can just watch people talk, and I'm fascinated by the dialogue. And this dialogue was amazing, incredibly Shakespearean in the and this, like when you said William Shakespeare, I was like, okay, that makes sense. But there was something else related to Shakespeare I had read in the trivia that made me, that Blackadder is based on Edmund, the antagonist of William Shakespeare's King Lear, a scheming illegitimate son of a king who plots to take the crown for himself. Which we don't really plot to take the crown for himself in this so much as he just bumbles into it. So this got me good. He wakes up late in the morning to the battle, and his mom knocks on the door. Did you want to go to the battle this morning? Like, it's 11 o'clock. Oh, no. Like, this late for school setup.
The alarm was clock amazing. Sundial.
Yes. That got me. Yes.
Pulls the cover off of the sundial and looks at it. I was howling. That was too good.
That was really good. That was really good. And he gets up and he goes off, rides his horse, and gets there, sees the battle going on. And, oh, look, what are all those people doing? Why are they lying down and not fighting? Oh, they're dead. Oh, I just remembered something that I have to go do. I'm like, you know.
Well, I even love the quick little joke right before that is when he's running off and he's asking his little friend, which way? It's the other way. It's like, oh, okay, let's go back the other way.
Yep.
Oh, because there's no, it's some field somewhere. Uh-huh. They really weren't 100% precise on where this big battle was going to take place. So he manages to go off, and this is when things start to get interesting, because he runs away from the battle. I mean, you know, you arrive late at the battle, you see a lot of dead people, kind of takes the wind out of your sails. Like, when you're all running at each other and howling, you've got the might of, I don't know, we're just going to win behind you. But when you walk up and you see that, like, this has a different feel than it would have if I was there. I mean, that's just my personal take on it.
It's hard to get the adrenaline pumping at that point.
Yeah, you're kind of late for all the screaming part that really makes it work. So King Richard has lost his horse, so he's kind of wandering around, but he's definitely the king. He's got the big collar with the, you know, the white and the little dots and everything, like a cartoon. He's lost his horse. Other Richard?
Yeah.
Brian Bless's character, Big Beard, Richard the Fourth.
Right.
Is going to offer him his horse. And he's like, no. My king, I can find a horse. I'm a king, you know. And then he begins whistling for his horse. Finds Edmund's horse tied to a tree, picketed, you know, to use proper terminology, at the tree. And Edmund has gone off to relieve himself, because apparently he didn't before the battle, as suggested.
Didn't follow his own advice.
Didn't follow the rules. So the king's like, oh, a horse.
I'll just take this horse. When you wake up late, you don't have time to pee before you leave.
No.
So.
That's true.
Yeah.
He was late.
Yeah, you're already in trouble, you know. So this is when Edmund gets his one kill of the day. sneaks up on this horse thief. And decapitates him, which I did not expect. I thought we'd get, like, a stabbing, a slash. But no, these are the British. You know, they're hardcore. That head rolled right off. And they were on the ground, and there was blood. And it was, oh, my, what has just happened here? So he's like, oh, let's see who this is. And he picks up the head, you know, just casually. Like, this happens all the time. Picks up the head, opens the lid of the knight's helmet, and it's... it's King Richard III. Oh, no. What have I done? And then the hilarious corpse desecrating humor begins.
God, so good.
And Baldric comes around because he starts screaming, right? And then Baldric shows up.
That's
Baldric,
right,
by the way, I loved Baldric's introduction. He's like, what do they call you? Baldric. Ah, then I shall call you...
Baldric.
But when he...
I shall call you my lord, my lord.
When he walks up and he just tosses him the head. And he looks, and I loved his reaction because he opens, oh dear, Richard the Third.
Oh dear.
So
that's Tony Robinson.
I wrote that down.
Who I only know because he did I want to say it was a Christmas or New Year's celebrity British Bake Off, and he was adorable. And so I was like, oh, I don't know this man's work, but I really like him. And then I was like, oh, there he is.
Yep, he was in every iteration of Blackadder. Because technically each season of this, it wasn't like they did four seasons. It was four different stories.
Sure.
Yeah. So they moved them through time. But he was in all of them with Rowan Atkinson. Always as Baldrick. So
British TV is fascinating to me because of the way they do series.
They love a limited series, man.
Mm-hmm. Man. Yeah, I remember watching IT Crowd when it was done with. I was like, wait, I was already done with the season. There was only six episodes. But there were only six episodes in all of the seasons. Yeah. Like, what are we... Yeah. We hire people for six episodes? How's this work? And over here, we're like 24?
Yeah. The nice thing about streaming shows now, though, is that a lot of times, even if, like, not a lot of times, but frequently, if they have a big enough following, but not enough for them to, like, pick them up, they still give them, like, you know, all right, we're not going to give you a 12-episode season, but here's four so that you can wrap up your loose ends. So that's at least something. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and honestly, I like a season to be as long as it needs to be. Like,
sure.
Right.
I understand the old network model was 22, 24 episodes a season, something like that. The problem you can run into there is, depending on the type of show, you can get filler episodes. Now,
so much filler.
Mm-hmm.
Filler all over.
When shows were more episodic and less serialized, you could get away with that, right? Star Trek The Next Generation could get away with 24 episodes because they're just a bunch of bottle episodes. You don't have a... But, like... We started moving into the serialized storytelling, and now when you're doing that with more modern shows, you end up with stuff like Lost is a great concept. Lost had way too many episodes because you start eating your own tail at that point. So I kind of like how other series will do that and do six episodes, 10 episodes, whatever it is. It is jarring when you're not used to that. You're like, wow, this show was on the air for six seasons. Yeah, but it's 40 episodes total.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's weird when it's a comedy, because I'm used to, like, when it's a comedy and it's short, because comedy, you always have 24 episodes, and it's funny, there's always some story to tell, but when it's a drama, you know, I find it more annoying to have 24 episodes, because you do end up with filler, you know, and there's a main through line for a season, but it only moves forward every five episodes at the end, like, the last 4 minutes is like, oh! Could you believe that? And you get all like, Smallville used to do this to me back in the day. Gilmore Girls. Would just be like, oh, what does that happen? Okay. But like, now we've got more prestige TV, Breaking Bad and, you know, Better Call Saul and The Bear and stuff. You got like shorter seasons, but more hits, more meat to deal with. But yeah. But back to the Blackadder here. This is where the body horror comes on. They're like trying to put the head back on the body. Dragging it around.
That's the best, because they like line the head up. They get the head all nice, and then they pick up the feet.
Just
before that, he puts the head on. He's doing what kind CPR? Of resuscitation, hoping that it'll put the head back on somehow?
Yeah, try something. You just killed your uncle, the king.
Uh-huh. Yeah, he's in a panic. Oh, that was what he said when he opened the night. Saying, oh my God, it's Uncle Richard. It's just so juvenile. It's just so funny.
And I thought it was funny that, you know, the armor, the helmet, none of this gave it away until he actually lifted it up and looked at the face.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's definitely dressed like a king. But here we are. So they drag the body back to, like, some sort of cottage where they go in, and there's... There's an injured man in there, right? I was slightly distracted when all of this was going on. Yeah. So there's an injured man in there. Then they get mad because Baldrick didn't bring the head with him, and they should have. and they just basically end up running away. Like, we're going back to the castle to tell everybody that what's happened. He goes to the castle. He's expecting that the war, they've lost it. I mean, the king died.
Right.
It's the battle is over. King Henry Tudor is going to come running in here at any moment and ravage all the women, to which his mom doesn't sound so upset about that. She's just like, oh, well, you know,
showered.
I should go get a bath or a shower and go get cleaned up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And everybody thinks it's going to be a bad deal, and the door's getting banged on, and it turns out it's King Richard IV. He's like, we won! The battle is over, and Edmund's in there basically trying to tell her, oh, okay, great, this is awesome. And then Edmund gets to trying to talk his way out of him saying the king is dead, right? Like, he said the king is dead.
So well, he told his mom. Line, we get the line from his mom.
That's right.
Like, well, I suppose you're going to want to ravage me. Get later.
Yes. Yes, in a few minutes.
That's right.
In a few minutes.
I love the in a minute, and then he turns to Prince Prince Harry. She's insatiable.
Like, yeah.
So good.
There's it's just constant. It's like, this is like trying to review Airplane. You're like, I don't know where. Mm-hmm. There's just too many hits. We're just going to have to go. But Edmund had told his mom the king is dead, and then King Richard IV is like, what, you saw him die? No, I didn't see him die. You know, he backpedals his way. It's worse than my backpedaling to get out of this scenario.
He's in the river. I mean, I don't know that.
Yeah,
I wasn't there.
Not that I would know.
Maybe he's not. He's at me. I mean, he might not be dead.
In fact, he's not even wounded. He's fine.
Even,
whatever.
He's fine.
And just as someone walks in with the body of the king. Oh, okay. And I can't remember the context, but at some point, Edmund gets all is all scared of what's going to happen. Then he gets all excited and he starts nodding. And I don't know why that physical gag just got me so much.
He got all excited because King Richard IV says, "And we know who killed him, don't we?" And he's looking right at Edmund, and Edmund's like, No. And he goes,
no,
Harry
no.
Tudor. And he's like, ah, yes.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That's
right. Yep.
It's such a good job.
And then that whole bit ends with Brian Blessed's character saying, all right, let's go kill some war criminals or some war, war prisoners.
Prisoners.
Yeah.
Prisoners. then we have this masterful scene where the secretary, I don't know, another dude, comes in with a book to tally the kills to find out. And he phrases it so wonderfully. Edmund, who did you kill? What? I thought you meant the king. But, he dances around it.
Now one.
Then he has to sit there and he makes up like how many people, and he's got was it Baldrick
and Percy,
Percy behind this guy trying to give him like hand signals. And like Baldrick's like, you killed four. He's like, four, and the other guy's holding up five, like 45. Edmund.
Well, because
like,
first four it's peasants,
hands.
Right?
They're mouthing peasants, and he's like, peasants. Yeah.
But they don't count.
So good.
They don't count. Only in the case of a tie.
Because they're getting the battlefield averages.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, so it's four and then five for 45, and he's like, four. And like the two of them trying to just get him to... God, it's so good.
And then it ends with 450, and I love the reaction. Wow, that's twice as many as anyone else.
Three times as many as I did.
And he just takes it like, oh, yeah, that sounds good. It's a good number. How many nobles did you kill? And they name a couple. He was tough to kill. Oh, yeah, I know. I killed him myself.
Right.
You know, like, it's just these.
He starts like, well, he was fighting for our side, and he can tell you that he saw me kill this other guy.
Oh, he said, I killed him myself at one point.
Yeah.
It was just really well
put.
It
was really good.
Yeah, it was that whole scene. Was wonderful. That had everything you wanted in it. And then this is where we hear the title of the show after the guy leaves. And they find the injured man from the cottage in Edmund's bed.
Because
like,
when they're leaving,
can't be here later.
When they're leaving, he's like, save me. If you leave me here alone, I'm going to die.
That's right.
And they're like, okay. And then he's like, please, I'll pay.
Yeah.
I'll give you 10,000 sovereigns. And then the door just opens and Percy pokes his head in. And then presumably we go to commercial is what I took that weird cut to be.
Yes.
Sure.
Of course. Yeah. And then he gets his name. He calls himself the Black Vegetable.
Yeah,
which was just silly, and they're like, oh, "I think a different name would be better, like the Black Adder." Oh yes, the Black Adder, because he's a prince now. He wasn't a prince before. Yeah. Now he's a prince because his dad's the king.
Yep.
Because he's King Richard IV. Long live the king! And he gets his new fancy pants clothes for being a prince.
So good. It's the fashion haircut. Montage scene.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Complete with the worst haircut imaginable. So good.
But the way they do it is so good because there's just three bowls on the ground.
but poor Rowan Atkinson had to have that haircut for how long while they were making this?
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's just... Because it wasn't a wig. You could tell by the way like his hair was shaved.
Oh, it was his hair, yeah.
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 He's committed to the part.
It's probably easier to wear the hair than try to do that stupid voice the whole season.
Yeah. voice was a lot.
It was rough. His expressions, everything was rough about watching him work. Also, he's been like 55 years old since like 1970.
Yeah, yeah. For sure.
I saw he was still doing, like, Rowan Atkinson is still alive? How old is he now? 100? He was. Because he was on a James Bond movie in the 60s, and I thought he looked like an old guy. I'm like, what is this guy? Where's infinite lifespan. But yeah, so the man who should be dead, who they were going to leave, is awake in the bed, and Edmund is like, who are you? You know, are you so? He's like, oh no, not important at all.
Wait,
you know,
so
I'll be gone.
Rich?
Whatever. Yeah,
rich but modest.
You told him he would be rich. And then Richard shows up. King Richard, dead Richard. This nearly headless Nick himself, except totally headless.
King Richard III, played by Peter Cook.
Yeah.
And fantastically. And apparently he was really nervous to do it. And then kind of like did a lot of improv-ing. But he had worked with Rowan Atkinson before. But he was nervous to play King Richard. In a show.
That's
weird. Funny.
Yeah.
But he was...
It's got some juju on it.
Could be. But I just... I loved him. He was great.
The whole floating head bit was hilarious. Oh, my god!
I did not expect that at all.
It looked pretty good, too.
Yeah.
Considering how
very
old
much
this
so.
Is.
Yeah.
I was like, I
that
am
was
impressed.
Impressive.
That looks good.
Yeah. Like, we just did Star Wars. They'd be like, hey, we can float heads.
Yeah.
You want to float a head?
On television. Can you do that? Like, Star Wars has cinematic kind of budget. On television, we can float ahead. Yeah, sure.
Here, wrap this thing on you. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go.
Yeah, so he gets to talk to King Richard, who just harasses him endlessly for who he is. Because, I mean, King Richard didn't like him when he was alive either.
Yeah.
Called him a little turd, which is awesome. That's just the best insult. So shortly after this, they end up at the dinner table again to celebrate the win that the battle happened. And this is the part where it gets a little squirrely because they're going to go ahead and do the desecration of Henry Tudor. And that's when they bring in a portrait of Henry Tudor, to which Edmund realizes, oh, no. That's the guy that's been in my bed this whole time.
Well, so first they're going to put a curse on he who killed King Richard.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Which is real good. Because they do not say, like, for a while, there's no name involved in the actual curse.
Right.
So it's just whoever did.
They're going, oh,
well, again,
boy.
We've got Ghost King Richard, who only can interact with Edmund. Like, he's the only one that sees him and knows what's going on. He keeps yelling at Edmund, he did it, he did it.
Yeah.
And Edmund's like, no, I didn't. Everybody's like, you didn't do what?
Yeah.
Nobody knows.
Again, we have... I was going to say, we've got another... Someone's talking to a ghost and nobody knows why.
We didn't plan on that 2 weeks in a row, but it happened.
Here it was. And King Richard ends up sitting in his normal seat between between Richard the Fourth and the dude who was taking notes. I can't remember everybody's name. Trying to interact with them, and they're talking through him, and he just gets perturbed that he actually can't interact with them at all. No one can hear him. So Edmund runs back to his room, and it turns out that Henry Tudor is gone. He's now ridden his horse out, and Edmund is going to take off after him. So he goes off riding after him, and then I think, if I recall, he just winds up at the Three Crones, right? Yeah. We don't actually get... He doesn't catch up to Henry Tudor.
No. He gets lost in the fog.
Mm-hmm. Right. He gets lost in the fog because King Richard created the fog. Will snap.
Yep.
He shows up and he snaps and all these smoke appears in the field. And Edmund finds crones. You got to have crones.
You got to.
Who know stuff.
I mean,
it's part of the
some good weird
it's part
sisters.
Of the game.
I was going to say, if we're going to take from Shakespeare, let's take from Shakespeare.
Just rob it all. So there's three crones stirring a pot, and they tell Edmund that his destiny is to be king.
Yeah.
And he's like, aha, this is great. And I'm bought in. I'm like, yeah, all right, Edmund's going to be king. And this is what I love about what this show did. They could have told you the whole spin right there at the commercial break, come back, then roll credits. But no. They wanted you to watch the credits. They wanted you to see all the names on the screen. So they did. So he's riding off. They do the whole song, which is great. Mm-hmm. Blackadder song is fantastic. Mm-hmm. You watch the credits roll. And then we cut back to the crones.
Yes.
And they didn't like the way this guy looked. They liked the first guy that rode by. Better. What did they say? They didn't like this. They didn't like Edmund because he was rude. But they liked the other guy they saw. And then they realized, oh, no, we told the prophecy to the wrong guy.
Rut-road.
And then, uh-oh, now we know Henry Tudor's destined to become king. And Edmund thinks he's destined to become king. So we got to see where these wacky shenanigans go. In further episodes of Blackadder. That's the rundown. I know that I did a miserable job of giving notes on it, but it's hard for me to follow for today. But I had a good time. I laughed at a lot of it. Is there any closing thoughts? I missed any highlights you guys wanted to point out?
No, we hit everything I had notes on.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a tough one because I was like, this is really funny, but I don't know what to write. It's you got to watch it. You got to be in the chair. I cannot express to you the British humor as me, an American, in the right way.
It's also context because there's not just setup payoff in the jokes. Like the whole thing where he's trying to backpedal out of saying that King Richard III was dead is great, but it's long. You can't explain
it's really
it.
Right. Yeah.
You just have to experience it. You have to listen to him because
it's so uncomfortable.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. The same thing with the battlefield averages and him going over all of that. It is a constantly growing and evolving moment. It's not just one punchline. So, yeah, it is something you really do need to watch. It's just
And speaking of needing to watch it, do we need to watch more Blackadder? Audie, what do you think?
I don't know that I will, but I might watch more clips of it. I don't know. It's one of those shows that I'm just like, I don't feel the need to go watch it. But now that I know what it is, I'm not going to not watch it if it happens to be on somehow. Kind of thing.
Sure.
I mean, I know I probably would need to watch it to get the story, but that's where I'm at. I could, but I don't feel like I need to.
Yeah. Awesome. Travis.
Yes, I do. I need to have this as this is perfect background show for me.
I can definitely see
that being a thing. The kind of show that I can throw on when I'm doing stuff like painting or, something like that. Because I just love this type of show, and I want to see more of it. Because, again, later seasons, you get Hugh Laurie and Stephen Fry and Miranda Richardson all in it. And I love all of them. So, yeah, this is one I'll probably watch a little bit more of. It's like Fawlty Towers, in a way. Fawlty Towers is another one that I really enjoy and I can watch over and over. I can see this being that kind of thing for me.
Sure. Amy, how about you?
Yeah. Like Travis, I've got some sitting at a table painting going on. And so, and it's like, I'll certainly watch this first season through for sure, because it is 7 episodes. Like, let me just hit that real quick. No problem. I definitely think I will, if only just for more Brian Blessed, because he's the best.
Excellent. I don't regret watching it, but I don't think it's for me in the long run. That's just me. Like, there's a handful of places my geek card can't go.
That's
anime.
Fine.
Yeah.
Sure.
British humor. It just doesn't reach, and I hate it. Because I want to be a part of this community. I go to Dragon Con, and there's just Doctor Who everywhere. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, I don't get it. But I really got FOMO, but not enough FOMO to actually do anything about it.
I would say don't hate it, because it's not your cup of tea.
Yeah. Yep. Oh, yeah. I don't hate it.
Like,
it was wonderful. I laughed a lot. Mm-hmm. I don't think I'm going to go back to the well.
Yeah. It's funny that we're split again this week.
I know.
Watching
That's
stuff.
Wild. That's good, though. You get a lot of opinions. You get probably people that are going to listen to this and be like, I'm with Travis and Amy on that, and I'm with audience team. That's why we have multiple perspectives on this wonderful show. Multiple perspectives and multiple shows we talk about, because we change it every week. And next week, we're going to let Amy take us somewhere else, to another foreign land. What are we doing, Amy?
All right, so first I want to give an honorable mention, because it is just outside, it turns out, of our window of timeline. But everyone should watch Black Books, if you haven't already. It's British comedy, but you, Stephen, might find it a little more accessible, because it is not as... It's absurd in a little more toned-down way. But Black Books is a phenomenal show. It came out in 2000, was the first season, so it's a little outside of our range.
Black Books is much more in the vein of like IT Crowd.
Yeah,
it's that type of show.
Yeah.
So if you like the IT Crowd, you'd like Black Books.
I love the IT Crowd.
Yeah. Well, then you would love
Black
Books.
That's my honorable mention. So I'm going to take us back north to the most Canadian show of Canadian shows. We're going to be watching The Red Green Show. Specifically, we are going to be watching Season 9, Episode 7, Coup de Grâce. It's available on Amazon Prime.
For anybody who doesn't watch on YouTube or come for the live stream, there are reasons. Like, Steven's reaction just now is the perfect reason for why you should have been watching this.
I will have to provide... I'll have to provide a photo of my father so that you'll understand why I have chosen this show.
I cannot express how happy I am that you chose this, because my best friend I've known since I was 12, his dad looked identical to Red Green growing up. And we were just like, your dad is Red Green.
So I did look at this for pilots originally. The pilot is not very good. It took a little bit for this one to find its feet.
I was like, I believe that.
I watched the pilot and I was like, this was not good. This is not what I'm doing. but I mean, this seems like, if not now, when?
Right.
Oh,
so yes, Red Green, Season 9, Episode 7, Coup de Grâce.
I am so excited. Audie's right. If it wasn't like my kid wasn't asleep next door and it wasn't quiet, I'd have probably just jumped out. I'm so excited. Cannot wait. So thank you all for tuning in for this episode where we talked about Blackadder. If you have thoughts on this or upcoming Red Green, or honestly, any show we've done so far, please let us know at Those Days Show on the Twitter, or at thosewerethedaysshow@gmail.com. Did we have any email this week? I didn't check the mailbox because I'm a professional who does all these kinds of live on the air.
They've taught us that we don't have to.
That's true.
Yeah, that's fine. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we don't have any mail. But did we get any feedback on anything? I think, Audie, you said somebody said something on Facebook about it.
Yeah, but old high school buddy Paul talked about how he loved it and made a Baldrick joke, so...
I know my sister-in-law Ashley loves this show. She's been trying to get me to watch it for years. So check the box. Mission accomplished. Awesome, awesome, awesome. So always, if you do want to show up and come support us live, you can do so. Twitch.tv/2dorksTV at 9 p.m. Eastern time on Mondays. That's where we're doing it. That's where you'll find us. If you want to talk more with us, hang out with the group, sit around the water cooler, you can do that at 2dorks.net/discord. We'll get you into our Discord channel where there's just a bunch of friendly people waiting to wave and say hello.
Oh, yeah.
And with that, it has been a wonderful night. Tune in next week. We will see you next time on Those Were the Days.